Opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Karmic Path with your hosts, Tina Irwin and Laura Van Tine. Join us as we dive into the normal and the paranormal to break through the darkness and to help you realize how karma, spiritual law, and psychic ability all combine to open the doors of understanding. This is the place where we build the karmic connections between science, psychology, and spirituality. But can we change our karmic path? Can we help someone else's karma? Stay tuned and join us for an opportunity to look at life and spirituality from a down-to-earth, no-nonsense, practical perspective. The Karmic Path Radio Show with Laura and Tina, Better Karma for Better Living, starts now.
Welcome to the Karmic Path. Sorry about the late start. We're having some technical difficulties. Apparently,
somebody really doesn't want this show
to be aired. Within a few minutes ago, the software system on our end decided it needed an update. So anyways, if there may be some lag in the video, we apologize for that, but we're going to go ahead and get started. The content is really what it's all about. So thank you for being patient with us.
Yes. All right. The topic of this week's show is the karma of governance. And we know that everyone has a karmic path and all of our actions echo out, and they don't just affect us. They affect everybody else. And especially if it's government, the karmic path of a government can affect the entire country. And in some cases, a whole planet.
Right. And if you think that you can't escape politics when you die, think again. There are politics in the higher realms and even the lower realms, because politics boils down to how we relate to one another and the way the universe tries to seek balance. And that's the whole point of politics. And when politics become corrupt, the energy of that politics becomes out of balance.
It's basically the energy of the relationship. And it becomes out of balance because someone seeks to have more power and control, which instantly throws a situation out of balance. And so, you know, we know karma doesn't waste energy.
Right. And we're going to talk about, you know, the politics of families, of cities, of governments, and we're going to kind of end it with what's going on in Oregon. Oh my goodness. So, and what's really fascinating about the Oregon thing is it's not really hitting national news, but it's like a wow thing. Before we get started, I want to share with you, Tina, kind of a cool little story. So what you may not know is right now I'm in the process of audio recording the book, Soul Evolution, Past Lives and Karmic Ties. And it's one of those resonance things, especially where karma doesn't waste energy, because I'm talking to an old friend of mine, a good friend of mine. We've known each other about 20 years. She does not speak English. She speaks Spanish. She did not come to this country legally. She was brought here to work for a family when she was 9 illegally. She managed to get her citizenship here.
So, in other words, she was basically sold into...
She was sold into, I'm going to call it child slavery, although in a different sense, perhaps. But anyways, this woman... She was telling me, she's a friend of mine, was telling me how horrible her childhood was, that the woman who she lived with, who was not her own parents, treated the dogs better than they treated her as a small child. And what strikes me is that this woman does not know how to read or write. English or Spanish, a little bit of rudimentary Spanish. But she is probably one of the best mothers out there.
And she got her own, she got her citizenship.
She did get her citizenship, but she's one of the best mothers out there. And her kids, she's making sure her kids are well-educated, going to school. And this karma doesn't waste energy. Sometimes we're born into abusive situations. And we either make a free will choice to perpetuate that abuse or make a wiser choice to stop that abuse. And I guess the big thing is that she has no education, but she's extremely, no formal education. She's extremely wise. She's probably one of the wisest people I've met. She is just amazing. I didn't know how horrible her childhood was.
And she didn't, she had the capacity within her to rise above her childhood. And I'm using that term specifically, rise above it. She didn't allow it to chain her to where, basically she was someone's slave.
Yeah. And she doesn't use that as her defining character. And I've known her for 20 years. We've been good friends. I see her probably once every couple of weeks. She's never mentioned it, never alluded to it. So anyways, because I just thought that was cool.
Reality.
Right. I thought that was just really cool because this is actually family politics, right?
Well, where do politics start?
Right. It starts in the family.
Where does government start? Government starts with the family. And I think that it's really important to understand that if you can get past your childhood sometimes, if it was really bad, that's where you first learn about government, because your parents have a job to do, and that is be the leaders of your early life.
So what kind of government did you grow up with? Was it an oligarchy, a dictatorship?
Laissez-faire?
Socialist, right?
What kind of government did
What kind of government did you grow up with?
Mine was basically a capitalist government, but my parents were like Congress. You know, they fought with each other tooth and nail, and you had to pick sides. And I think that a lot of people grow up where their parents are senators from the opposite side of the road. And it became a...
That's so funny. You know, we got a late start here, so we're going to go ahead and skip the break. I can't seem to type and listen and talk at the same time. So thank you, Kat.
I think that the problem, I think for me, was that I'm watching two people who one person thinks they're significantly smarter than the other. One parent is convinced that they're so much smarter than the other. The other parent had a crippling childhood. Actually, both parents had crippling childhoods, and yet they're trying to raise four children. Mm-hmm. And they actually raised four really good people, and they did. I know we always say, you know, they did the best they could,
but that is true.
Maybe that was true for them. Maybe they didn't have enough leadership to know of another way. And both of them were raised by single parents, and that's a huge issue globally, that there's only one parent. But one parent can be a tremendous leader, because we learn leadership, the most rudimentary elements of our life. Leadership starts, or your concept of it starts, from the time you're born. What kind of a leader are your parents? You know, are they Congress fighting with each other all the time? Or are they trying to be united and have a united front to show you the way?
Right. And think about your family background. Was there equality in your family? What was done to you? You know, maybe did your mom allow you to be bullied by somebody, or did she stand up for you?
Which thereby taught you how to stand up for someone who's being bullied by a teacher and or another kid in the class.
These family government dynamics are opportunities and lessons to learn what to do and what not to do. You know, my friend just realized how not to raise kids. She specifically said she was not going to raise her children in abuse. By the way, she did not even marry an abusive man.
She changed. Yeah. You know, I have seen generations of families of physical, sexual, spiritual, mental abuse.
Right.
And it does become generational, but it doesn't have to be. And she's an example of someone who decided it didn't have to be.
And she changed her family's karmic path for the better. Imagine not growing up with that abuse that was done to her.
In some families, one or the other parent is a dictator. It's either their way or the highway. There's no consideration for, you might have an opinion, something might have come up. Their rules are so hardwired, there's no factors in mitigation. And there's no ability to look at a larger picture, meaning there's no judgment, because you're expecting your parents to use good judgment in how they handle various situations.
And as a child, we don't know any different, right? We know what we know based on our experiences of this lifetime. So we don't know of that. And as we're looking at this, at governments, there's government in everything, including, you know, we start out with family governments, then we went to tribal governments,
well,
right?
Well, tribes basically, you know, the comment today is what's your tribe?
And right.
Usually it started at your tribe was your, you have your nuclear family, and then use your hands, your extended family, your aunts and uncles and your grandparents, and then you have your many removed relatives. And the problem is if you bring someone from outside the tribe into your tribe as an in-law
or an outlaw
and they don't fit into the tribe the correct way, it boils down to this is a really important point. I'm saying that out. This is a really important point because in-laws, the parents, the mother-in-law, the father-in-law, have a responsibility as family leaders to embrace the new person, to find a way to welcome them. The new person then has a responsibility to find their place in the family by finding a way to work with that new in-law. Now, karma puts us together so that we can work through things and work things out. And sometimes you have outside influences. I think we see this today with families and organizations. You have so much outside influence through social media. And very different. It's very difficult to find that balance.
Social media, but also search engines. Search engines are our Google Chrome and our Safaris. They also decide what they think we should watch or look up or research or what pops up on our screen.
And the fact that as we're looking at this, I'm going to go back to parents a little
bit.
Okay,
you got to stop with the interface box.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to. I'm a fidgeting person.
Give her a cup of coffee and let me tell you.
That was hours ago.
Right? Point taken.
When you look at the tribes of today, the family units or organizations, and you have the larger organization, which can be schools and things like that, I want to bring up the issue of millennials. I hear an awful lot of people complain about millennials and they got rid of this and nobody wears ties anymore and millennials don't like that. And it's like, whoa, 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 you know, and they're lazy and they feel entitled. I mean, we've all heard it all.
Right.
Well, I got to say, millennials had to have their leadership from somebody. Who is the somebody? That's the parents.
Right. And what generation doesn't have the preceding generation complain about them?
Okay. My generation was considered the hippie dropout of life, worst, horrible generation ever, because we were products of the greatest generation and no one could ever be as great as the greatest generation. So my generation just kind of was subpar. I won't use a bad word. We were subpar. That's not true. My generation gave us Star Trek and Star Wars.
There you go.
Which helped pave the way for a lot of astounding ideas, a lot of creativity. But we reincarnate, so we're basically all the greatest generation.
Right.
The millennials have to have their time to work through their process of living, to make their discoveries. Just, you cannot want something for a generation that generation, you can't want something for that another generation because you're wanting them to be like your generation and they're never going to be like your generation.
There's ever a reason why we have subsequent generations, right?
There was a phrase I heard on, I was actually listening to Hidden Brain on NPR, and they were talking about scientific breakthroughs. They said a lot of times for a real breakthrough to happen, it only happens after somebody finishes with a funeral of a previous generation of scientists, because there is now no such thing as no such thing. But you have generations of scientists who denied and disproved things that can't possibly be.
Well, like ghosts, right? I mean,
welcome to our world.
Right. You know, everybody said they don't exist, but yeah, they do. It's a science thing. Even nature has government. if you think about it, that even nature has politics. If you look at certain groups of animals, for example, you know, a pride of lions or maybe a meerkat colony.
Whether it's the whole gorilla or chimpanzee or the whole, you know, chimpanzee, great ape. But then let's go to insects.
Right.
Ants and bees have incredible hierarchy.
So this and that hierarchy is a form of politics. And the reason why we have it is it helps us to survive. And without it, we become anarchists, so to speak, and everything starts to fall apart. But what we're seeing, and I think what especially the United States is seeing and many other countries, is a failing of government because it's based on something. Things are changing, right? We don't know our politicians anymore.
Well, the only constant in life is change. And it used to be in a tribe, small town, a village, a small town, you know, a modest sized city, you knew your politicians, you knew who was who, you knew who was on the take, you knew who had, you know, bad morals and, you know, who was somebody in the church, literally. So those things were something that you knew. But the problem with politics on a government scale, whether it's a state government or it's federal government,
or local city school government.
You don't know who's who. You might know somebody on the school board because your kid goes to that school district. But that's probably where it stops for most. I can't speak for any other country, but for most Americans, you don't know who's who. I mean, we had an election and elected a different governor. I can't even remember his name. It's like, was it Moonbeam Brown anymore? So the point is, we used to have some knowledge of who our politicians were, but today we don't really know anybody on any level of government. We don't know them, and we're fed information and truth in this massive war of words. Truth is now the absolute beat up casualty.
Yeah. So when it comes down to a word, war of words nowadays. Everybody's fighting with everybody. And what is the truth? What is that nugget of truth? And we don't know.
We really have no idea. And so we really feel like we are no longer connected to our politicians and we don't have a real voice in the laws that are governing us. And we elect a politician to do a job, or for instance, in California, they pass all of these
bills, basically.
Basically, there are certain bills, or I know what there's a term, I'm just drawing a blank on it. And you we vote on it and we say, yes, we want this
proposition,
like Proposition 13 that froze property taxes. So, you know, all these elderly people on Social Security wouldn't lose their home. That was the whole point of Prop 13. But what's happening is legislators are ignoring the will of the people. And they're suing and getting courts to overturn it. Why did we spend our time trying to figure it out? I think what's happening is that we're feeling that we don't really know or have a voice in what's happening. We just pray things don't get
well.
Bad.
And when we're looking at a proposition or we're going to vote and we get that ballot, it doesn't really tell us what's really going to happen.
No. The way either a ballot, a bill, or a proposition is written is so convoluted. I was at a town hall meeting with a California legislator about a month and a half ago, and several people in the audience stood up and said, I voted for this bill. And then people told me I voted for the wrong side of the bill from what I wanted, but I couldn't understand the wording. So in the war of words, not only is truth the first casualty, having any understanding what you think you're voting for is also an enormous casualty. When we come back, we're going to talk about what is the karma of those casualties. So
it's break time already?
It's break time. Yeah.
Okay.
So you're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. This is The Karmic Path, and we'll be right back.
Have you ever wondered if there's a way to heal the deep, hidden inner issues, wounds, beliefs, and traumas? The Journey into Spiritual Healing engages people in all areas of their lives to heal themselves and others. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Dr. Jaffe brings conversations of healing of body, mind, and spirit as he merges the excellence of traditional medicine with the beauty of spiritual healing. For more information about Dr. Jaffe, this show, and his work, visit drjaffemd.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Tap into the wisdom of animals, angels, and masters with Darcy Pariso on Animal Soul Wisdom Radio. Tune in monthly as Darcy brings insights on how to better understand and deepen our relationships with animals. Working with light and pureness of ancient techniques, Darcy, healer, animal communicator, and medium, is here to guide you through this process and provide inspiration to move forward. For more information about working with Darcy, visit DarcyPariso.com.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific Time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Learn and explore fascinating and practical uses of essential oils, how to use them, and how they can enhance your everyday life. The Oil Lounge was founded by three remarkable women with fascinating stories about how essential oils changed their lives. Tina and Laura from The Karmic Path have joined forces to educate the masses in the benefits of Young Living essential oils. For more information, visit theoillounge.com.
Welcome back to The Karmic Path on Transformation Talk Radio. We're talking about karma and governments. And we started out with the first form of government we experience is simply our families. And we also talked about the fact that there's politics everywhere, including in those higher spiritual realms, the lower spiritual realms. There's even work karma. Anybody who's ever held a job, work karma, work politics. There's politics in our workplace. There's politics in school. We can't escape it because perhaps politics is a karmic opportunity to learn how to navigate through certain waters.
And through certain relationships. And we're talking about what is the karma of governments. And sometimes governments do some really good things and sometimes they don't.
Well, you were talking about before break, the fact that, you know, we have no idea what we're voting on. I want to add an extra layer to that is that a lot of times there are special interest groups that hold politicians hostage. You know, maybe it's a pharmaceutical company who's immune to lawsuits that wants these drugs passed. So
drug laws passed
so they can never be sued, that kind of thing. That is a form of politics. So it becomes, for the politician, what's the greater good? And is the greater good the politician's pocketbook or is it the people? That's more of a rhetorical question that I don't have an answer
for. Well, we actually know in California that there was a law passed mandating certain drugs mandating these drugs, and the politician who introduced the bill was paid $500,000. There is no secret there.
Yeah, that's
public.
True.
That's public knowledge. And so at that point,
the citizens who spoke against that, by the way, there was over 2,000 on Capitol Hill.
It's a different bill.
I know, but there were over 2,000 people that showed up on Capitol Hill, and not one of them who was against that bill was allowed to speak against it.
They were not, all they were able to say was, we don't want this bill. And it takes away a doctor's right, a doctor-patient privilege in California. It takes away doctor-patient privilege. And the politician introduced it was paid off.
And as citizens of a free country where we get to vote, there's a lot of karma in how we vote, when we vote, if we vote. But what about the karma, and this is just a question out there, of a dictatorship? Does a citizen of a dictatorship have a different karmic responsibility than one of a free country where they can vote?
I'm offering, this doesn't mean I have all the answers here.
Are you sure?
No, I don't have all the answers. There is less, the karmic burden is less because these people don't have free choice. And people who do have free choice have a higher karmic burden that they carry. Now, governments that are elected that are a socialist government, where everyone is supposed to be equal, which is one step away from a pure communist government, the fall of the Soviet Union, which went to Russia, and the fall of communism didn't work in China. Communism did not work in good God, look at Venezuela, which is pure socialism.
Right.
You can't make everything equal and perfect for everybody. That is just defies the laws of sanity. You're never going to make it all perfect, never going to make it all equal. And I think that expecting that sets a person up karmically for sort of an emotional failure. When you wake up one morning and realizing that it's not going, I mean, people in when it was Soviet Union, people in the Politburo, and if you're a Communist Party member, you got all these special perks. They were never going to be equal to the peasant in the field who is still trying to, you know, have
out a living.
Literally eke out a living. It was horrible. We were feeding them. They couldn't bomb us completely because we were feeding them.
Yeah. And governments are one of the most powerful forms of karma that we have because it influences hundreds of millions of people with every single decision. If people don't like you, then hopefully they vote you out.
Or they let the government know how truly unhappy they are. And and if a government is starting to be viewed as a police state, then this is when, you know, and it becomes oppressive, this is when rebellion occurs.
And we're kind of seeing this right now. And I am absolutely floored that it's not more mainstream national news.
It's not on any of the news stations that I'm aware of.
At least not in California, we're not seeing anything. And this has to do with the Oregon 11 and Oregon politics. So right now, Oregon has, and by the way, we are not going to be saying the Democrats or the Republicans because it's a moot point. It doesn't matter. Neither side has clean skirts.
No skirts. No clean skirts there.
No, neither side has clean skirts. So with the Oregon 11, what happened was, and I think this started in May, by the way, this another fascinating aspect of this is that Tina and I were going to do this show about 6 or 8 weeks ago, but something else came up and we bumped this show for this week. This is the same week that the Oregon politics have just exploded. So, all right, backtrack about a month ago. The supermajority in Oregon is passing all of these bills. For some reason, those leaders in the supermajority have decided that there's never going to be enough money for them. And they passed $9 billion with a B worth of taxes. And I think the state... Well,
the state population is only 4.1 million people.
Right, 4.1 million people.
That's men, women, and children, and people who are retired.
So it's just a little mind-boggling. So anyways...
So 4.1 million people are now going to pay an additional $9 billion in taxes.
And that's companies, et cetera. But those companies need to make payroll. So if they're being taxed, they're going to have to lay people off. So there's all of this stuff going on.
There's an act. So in other words, there's a karmic reaction. The action is they're trying to pass all these bills for $9 billion in new taxes. And the reaction is people will have to lay off workers. It's going to affect the economy of that state.
And so back in May, the minority of these 11 senators decided to not show up at Capitol Hill for the vote, which meant they couldn't have a quorum to process this vote. And the governor is upset, et cetera. So that happens. They ended up having to do this again this week. And the governor of Oregon threatened arrest for all of those senators who do not show up at Capitol Hill so they can take a vote. Now, this is a minority group. This political party is a minority group, and they have the best interest of their state in mind. And they're saying, no, the supermajority wants this overwhelming power, and they want to be able to give it to corporations at the same time, which makes it even more dangerous with this. It's a cap and trade thing, and California has, and it's kind of a messy thing, and it's really not working so well for our state for the most part.
People are leaving in droves.
Yeah. So the minority group is working so hard to protect its citizens. And what happened, I think it was actually earlier today, they lined the streets, the businesses lined the streets and closed down the Capitol. By the way, those Oregon 11 had to fly out of the state or face arrest.
So that's an illegal arrest warrant, because to not be present at a congressional event is not against the law. So to issue an arrest warrant is illegal. And I think that what's happening is there's so many people. I mean, I don't know if Kat can start showing the pictures.
Yeah, there's so many people that are protesting. It's a civil protest. And earlier in the show, we talked about when government isn't working for the people, you're going to see rebellion and protest. And this is a protest that's starting. These 11 senators from Oregon are in Idaho right now.
And they were welcomed and receiving the protection of the Idaho police. And I want to point out that the protesters are from both parties against this $9 billion in taxes. So of the electorate, I mean, they're going to be strangling. They will be drowning in taxes.
And these elected officials are being fined $500 every day that they're not there.
At what point... And I think people are looking around and going, this just isn't okay.
Well, and here's an interesting thing. In doing research for the show,
about we do research.
We do. 10 to 15 years ago, the current governor of Oregon got up and walked away because she didn't get her way. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. Yeah. She walked out and she took senators with her and said she had the right to do that. But she is not allowing the same right to the current day senators. Karma has a very funny way of coming back to you. Hard to put that into words.
It does, because now these people have done the same thing that she did based on what they believe is for the greater good of the people. And she's threatening them with jail time.
And I think that based on what you have to have a statute to issue an arrest warrant. So that means that the warrant would have been issued illegally. Not that I study law or anything. We do study it. You have in the military, you have to study law. You can't be an officer and not know some of the laws that are required to be able to administer a command. And the laws, civilian and military laws are almost identical on a lot of levels. And one of the laws in the military is, you have the right to disobey an illegal order. And I have...
You have a story about that.
I do have a story about that. And sometimes it doesn't look like it's politically correct to disobey an order. And I'll give this example. There was a story of a submarine that got underway in Norfolk, Virginia, up the Thames River. And they had an examination team on board. Meaning it was called an ORS team, Operational Reactor Safeguard Exam. And they look at how you run the ship and you keep the reactor safe. So they're an inspection team and their job is to keep any nuclear reactor and ship safe. So they want to see how do you conduct your ship. It's early morning. It's foggy on the river. It's a very congested river with a lot of civilian as well as surface, military surface craft. And you can never, submarine can't submerge till they reach the 100 fathom curve, which is not classified. And so they're on the surface and they're going along. And so the captain tells the navigator to go all ahead standard. And the navigator says, that's not safe.
And what does all ahead standard mean?
I mean, you're going, let's say that you're in a 20 mile an hour, 25 mile an hour zone, because it's sort of like a school zone because there's so many people out, but it's foggy. So wouldn't you slow down?
Right.
So basically saying go all ahead standard would be like going 30 or 35 miles an hour. And so the navigator says, no, I think that's wrong. And he says, well, then by gosh, you're going to go all ahead flank. And the navigator said, I refuse. I want it logged that I am refusing this order. This is an illegal order. It's not safe. I refuse. And he got up and walked off. So the XO executed it instead of backing up the navigator, so that when the sailplane of that submarine sliced through a commercial tanker and they had a collision, karma comes back and bites you very quickly sometimes.
It's what we call instant karma.
Instant karma. Of course, everybody was court-martialed, including the navigator who walked away, but he was completely exonerated because he disobeyed an illegal order, and everybody else basically lost their career. He did not.
That's a really good point to bring up. So this Oregon 11, they're doing something that's not illegal, but they're going to be punished for it.
Well, someone's going to try to punish them. And what's happening is it's galvanizing
the communities.
The entire community throughout the state. This will affect every single business, every single farm, every single farmer. These are family farms.
Right. There's a lot
if you look at how much food comes out of Oregon, it is staggering how much that state supplies.
Hazelnuts.
Cherries,
yes,
pears,
all kinds of things.
Some astounding fruit and vegetables. So the point is that this is the way the news is structured, no matter what station you listen to, the news is structured to have a lot of talking heads, not unlike us.
There you go.
A lot of talking heads. But we have no idea what's actually happening in other states of the union. We don't really know what's happening in other parts of the world.
And I just caught wind of the Oregon thing almost kind of by sort of an accident.
We kind of stumbled on it.
Yeah. And this is a big deal. So having said that, we're going to cut for a break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk about soul evolution and corruption and free will and how this ties into governments and politics. And we want to thank the Oil Lounge for sponsoring this show for us today. If you get a chance, go to theoillounge.com. They've got a ton of great information out there for you. And you're listening to The Karmic Path on Transformation Talk Radio, and we'll be right back.
Has your buzz for life buzzed off? Feeling ignored, invisible, and wondering if this is really all there is? The years go by faster as we gain momentum. You're halfway there. Are you gathering speed or puttering out? Hit your stride for the liberating half of life. Comfortable in your skin? You can do better than that. Tune in to Discovering You Again Radio every fourth Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific as host Susan Axelrod encourages listeners to decide what they want, get inspired to action, and face challenges head on. Host Susan Axelrod pulls no punches, encouraging you to grab the brass ring and soar. For more information about Susan, go to www.whatwillyourlegacybe.com.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404. What is holding you back from living the life you are meant to live? Why is it vital to believe in something bigger than yourself? Are you in physical or emotional pain? Tune in monthly to Vibrant Purposeful Living. Awaken the vibrant life within you with Lou Paradise and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Lou's passion is to help everyone experience positive solutions for life. Find out more about Lou with Vibrant Purposeful Living at LouParadise.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Karmic Path on Transformation Talk Radio. We're talking about karma and governments and how basically that the first, you know, government we have is our family. There's government in nature. There's politics everywhere we go. And in our book, Soul Evolution, Past Lives, and Karmic Ties, I'm actually doing the reading for the audiobook on that. Corruption exists because we have free will. We all can make choices. Am I going to walk on this side of the street or that side of the street? Am I going to buy this car or purchase that car? We all have free will. And this, because we have these choices, some choices are made due to personal greed and altruism. Some of it, everybody has a choice, basically. And we talk a lot about that in this book and what those choices do and how they echo out. It's all a part of our path.
Well, I think as we're talking about governments, I want to go back to World War II for a little bit.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Because we just had the Normandy, you know, the anniversary of the mm-hmm. Normandy invasion. And when you look at the karma of World War II, the World War I was the great war. We were never going to have another war. But the Allies in World War I laid the seeds for World War II by the way they punished the people who were in defeat. Specifically, the Germans are so angry at the Germans because they used mustard gas and they did horrible things in World War I. So, by God, they were going to punish them. Well, they laid the seeds for Adolf Hitler. And Hitler, I mean, it was, Hitler was a puppet of something really dark. But how did Hitler get elected? And he was democratically elected by one vote. And I know this because the guy who lived across the street used to work for Microsoft. He was one of the Microsoft millionaires. And he launched Windows 95 a long, long time ago. And he grew up in Berlin. And I said, did your father live through World War II? And he said, oh, yeah. He said they hated Hitler. And he said they didn't vote for him. And they were horrified when he won by one vote.
And that's astounding. Look what one vote did for the world.
And and he reminded me how much the German people suffered, how horrified they were when they found out all the things that Hitler was doing. It wasn't like they had information that would let people know who were not next. A lot of people mm-hmm. were next to concentration camps, they knew.
I'm going to back this up a few hundred years.
Okay.
A few hundred years ago, we were on the brink of a civil war in the United States, right?
Right.
All right. And we've talked about this in the past.
Yes.
That if Abraham Lincoln had not been successful, the United States would have been divided. And had the United States have been divided back then, what, fast forward to World War II, when the United States came into play and it shifted things for the war, for the better, for freedom, to get rid of Hitler. Had Abraham Lincoln a karmic opportunity for a government not been successful, what would World War II have looked like?
Well, we might be all speaking German, and
not that there's anything wrong with speaking with German, but by this way,
if we would have a very different looking world.
And so this is, I think it's a great example of,
I think it's a really outstanding example, because Lincoln did that. Because he did that, we were strong enough to be able to help Europe with World War I and II. And if you think about it, the Civil War ended in 1865 and World War I started in 1914.
Not that far away.
That was not very far away.
Abraham Lincoln was murdered shortly after
the war ended.
The war ended and he was successful and those amendments were made. He exited the stage.
He exited the stage. Unfortunately, it's however that worked. Maybe he was just really tired.
Maybe it was a karmic timing where he was done and it was someone else. We don't know. Those are speculations.
He engineered an awful lot of bills to make sure that slavery could never continue in the United States. And it cost 800,000 people died.
Because if slavery was an option for every new incoming state, they would be choosing free or not free, right?
Yes. And Lincoln made sure that every state was free. And he could see, because a visionary is able to see that in the future, you're going to have more states enter the Union. Why would they have to make such a horrific choice? And if someone, you know, escaped to a free state, it would become a constant division in the United States. He basically drew a line in the sand and said, no, this is not going to continue. And so fast forward to World War II.
World War II, the United States is intact and they are able to help at such a powerful level stop this insane war.
And the other thing that is really truly astounding is that after World War II, there were cooler heads who prevailed with a desire to punish the German people or the Italian people or the Japanese people. And they started the Marshall Plan because the Russians under Stalin, yes, we needed Stalin. It would have been hard to win World War II if the Germans hadn't been fighting war on two fronts.
Mm-hmm.
And the Russians stacked their debt up like cordwood. And basically, they just withdrew and took the Germans with them. And basically, the Germans froze to death. And where I'm going with this is the German people suffered enormously. And the Allies rebuilt Germany and wanted to embrace them so that we would never have a war like this again. And we did the same. We absolutely rebuilt Japan. And we sent people in to help the Japanese people and to build their economy so that we would have trading partners, which we still have to this day. And that's the karma of those actions is echoing out to this very moment.
And had we have punished those people, because when we look at a country, we look at the government of the country.
Because history is written by the victors.
Right, exactly. We don't look at the people of the government. And I think that's a huge thing to think about, is that those people that we helped rebuild for were able to live better lives and another Hitler was not created.
Although what we didn't fully appreciate was that Stalin was equal to Hitler in his horror, and he killed 11 million of his own people. And fortunately, Russia is no longer Soviet Union, thank goodness. And a lot of things have changed. Thank you, Mr. Gorbachev and Mr. Reagan, have changed for the better. The Berlin Wall is down. If you didn't grow up during that era, you have no conception what a nightmare that was for the people on the other side of that Berlin Wall. It was horrific. They were in a police prison state. But things changed. That's a very positive thing.
And there's no such thing as a perfect government. We're all works in progress, right?
And there's no such thing as a perfect prime minister or premier or president.
When we're looking for what's the greater good. And, you know, there's a saying that there's on the karmic path is there's no learning in perfection.
And every person who is in a position of leadership, city, state, federal, or family, has choices to make in how they handle their power. And are they tempering it? Are they trying to work it out? Are they doing the very best they can? Are they looking for the long term, which is exactly the point with Lincoln. These are very well said.
Power over people or power over something carries with it tremendous karma, tremendous opportunity for leadership or not. And the Oregon 11, I mean, I'm grateful that we can have this conversation now, because the Oregon 11, I find it to be absolutely astounding what they're doing and what they're standing up for. And they are really, truly working for the people. And I've been reading some of the blogs from those 11 people, and they are just amazing. So if you have not heard of the Oregon 11, go look them up. And
I think they're trying to transcend party. I think by ending on this note, those 11 people are trying to transcend one party or another and maybe refocus everyone on what's the greatest good for the people of Oregon for the long term.
And this applies to all of us in this country and any other country, the greatest good.
And with that,
we're going to have to say goodbye. But we want to thank the amazing producer, Kat Grebe, for helping us out through some technical difficulties in the beginning. Thank you so much. And we also want to thank the Oil Lounge for sponsoring this show. We are very grateful to you guys. Please go check them out at theoillounge.com and have a great night. Thank you so much.
Thank you for spending time with us on the Karmic Path Radio Show. Listen live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time as we explore the fascinating elements of karma and how to make those critical connections between spirituality, science, and psychology. Both of us are seasoned psychics living ordinary lives in public education and the military. Tina and I both have a deep-rooted dedication to learning how the unseen world works and to share this knowledge. Learn how to create a heightened sense of understanding and karmic awareness for greater personal balance with the Karmic Path. For more information, visit thekarmicpath.com.